If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 21. And we're going to read the whole of the chapter. Sometimes this chapter can be omitted after the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. But I've been drawn to this, and so we're going to read the whole of the chapter, John chapter 21, and we're going to commence and read from verse 1 of John chapter 21. Entitled in my Bible, I'm reading from the New King James, so please follow in whatever version you have. It's entitled, Breakfast by the Sea. After these things, well, if I read from verse 30 of chapter 20, it says, And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is Galilee. And in this way he showed himself, Simon, Peter, Thomas is called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in, because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, Come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are older, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Let's bow for a moment of prayer and ask God to speak to us and help us as we meditate upon his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is truth. It is living. And it is powerful. And Father, we thank you that we have the freedom of being able to open your word and to read it together. Lord, as we've read together, Lord, I pray that you would already be speaking to each and every one of us. Lord, as we meditate upon it in these next moments, speak to us and meet us right where we are. That our time in your presence would be precious and marked by the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would speak to both hearer and preacher alike. So have your way this morning, we pray, that would affect us for the week ahead. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Familiar part of Scripture, the Lord Jesus there by the shore on the Sea of Galilee, preparing breakfast because he knew that the disciples had gone fishing that night, the night before. And you see, Peter here went from the greatest failure to the greatest firebrand, didn't he? He denied his Lord three times by the fire. Take you back a little bit further. When Jesus were in the upper room, Jesus said to the disciples, "One of you will deny me three times, and then a cock will crow." And Peter, well, he jumps out of his seat, doesn't he? And he says, "Lord, I'll never do it. I'll always be with you, and I will never let you down." But who was it that denied him? It was Peter. And from that we learn that Jesus knew Peter better than he knew himself, and teaches us that the Lord Jesus knows each and every one of us better than we actually know ourselves. He declared his Lord on Pentecost in the fire and power of the Holy Spirit, when God sent the Spirit down from heaven when he went home to be with him in heaven, when Jesus went home to his Father. But Peter decided to go fishing. Well, the Lord Jesus, he had been put to death. Well, yes, he'd met them on a couple of occasions, but Peter, well, like sometimes we feel, well, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. But one thing I know about fishing. And so what does Peter do? He goes back to his old job. And Peter sometimes has often been criticized for this post-resurrection fishing trip. And the others decided to go with him. Yes, there were seven of them there altogether, including Peter. And when Peter said, I am going fishing, well, Peter's decision of going fishing affected others. And sometimes the choices that you and I make affect others. And there are three questions here this morning from Christ prepared for Peter for Pentecost. And I want us to think briefly about them this morning. Firstly, we have the simple question that asked for the facts there in verse 5. Then Jesus said to him, Children, have you any food? The disciples had gone out fishing the night before. They'd been out all night toiling and they were coming into shore. They were tired, they were weary, they were hungry, and they had caught nothing. What were they going to have for breakfast? Worked hard all night and caught nothing. And many of us are like them, defeated and exhausted. Defeated and exhausted because we're trying in our own strength and not in the strength of the Lord. When we should be acknowledging Him in every area of our lives. And it is so easy, isn't it, to do things and afterwards think when I should have done it, consulted God beforehand. And Jesus called to His disciples asking His life-changing question. Children, have you any food? Have you caught any fish? You see, the Lord Jesus, well, He might have asked a less pointed question, mightn't He? He could have asked, well, how is the boat holding up? But He was straight to the point. And so there's a lesson in that, isn't there? That sometimes we can hedge around things when we should be going straight for it. There are some things you need to be more careful, but there are some things you need to head on. But what does it teach us? It teaches us that Jesus, He already knew the answer. So why did He ask? If He already knew the answer, why did He ask? Because He wanted them to tell Him their situation, their need. And friends, this morning, as we come together to worship the Lord, we need to come and ask Him and tell Him everything just as it is. Why? Because He cares. He cares. We live in a day and age that our country is in absolute turmoil. It doesn't know what is going to happen. In, out of Europe, who knows? Friends, this morning, can I ask you the question? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? It doesn't matter whether we're in or out of Europe, but it does matter whether you know the Lord is your Savior or not. Because if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, know that your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your heart and your life, then, my friend, you are not sure of an eternal home with God in heaven. But if you can say this morning that, yes, I have repented of my sin, I've asked for forgiveness, for God's forgiveness, I've invited Him into my life to be my Savior, and I know He lives because He lives within my heart, then, my friend, you're on that road to heaven. But that does not give us an excuse for doing whatever we want. We need to live godly lives. Because what we do for Christ, for the Lord Jesus on this earth, will affect others. My wife, a number of years ago, went into a shop to get some material. And my wife, before she joined the Faith Mission, she used to work in a shop before we had all the computers tallying up how much change you needed. And she's quite good at arithmetic. And she'd worked out how much it should be in her mind. She went and took the material and told them how much she wanted and so on, and they worked out the price, and she came away from the counter a little bit confused. She stood and she worked it out. She turned back and went back to the cashier. And she said, "I think you made a mistake." She said, "How?" She said, "I think you have." And she went through the figures and she says, "Yes, I have." So she had to go and get the manager and told her what had happened. But her honesty got her an extra 10% off because of her being truthful. You see, my friend, this morning, honesty is the best policy. And if we're truthful to one another and truthful to God, He will use us. Our choices affect others. Oh yes, my wife was a bit more out of pocket, but our testimony were intact. And isn't that what is important? He knows how things are in our lives, but He wants us to tell Him what we're going through. He wants us to ask. Before we can be saved, we must admit that we are lost in sin, deserving punishment. But because of His grace and His mercy, He is willing to forgive when we confess. And before He can fill us, we must admit that we are empty. What are we? Empty vessels. Until we let Christ in and fill us from within to overflowing. Children, have you any meat? Secondly, we see there in verse 15, the searching question that asked for first place in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" He asked this of Peter, the one who thought he had lost his usefulness. Quite often in my travels, I will get older people and sometimes younger people saying to me, "I can't do what you do." And I said, "Yes, that's a fair point. But still, you're part of the team. Because you can pray for those who can." And I know as you get on in years, it's not as easy to do things as you used to. But the one thing we cannot stop doing is praying one for another. Might not be as agile, but we can be more prayerful. And friends, this morning I want to encourage you to do what you can, where you can, that will point people to Christ. But when you can't, pray for those who can. Because if we love the Lord Jesus, as Jesus was asking Peter here, "Do you love me?" And what did Peter say? He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And if we love the Lord Jesus, we will want to see a work for God done. And that demands time in the place of prayer. You see, he called Peter by his old name. He met Peter where he considered himself to be. He asked Peter if he loved him more than the things around him. He said, he was asking, well, do you love me more than the sea? Do you love me more than the boat? Do you love me more than these nets which used to mean so much to you? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than these friends? Friends, can I ask you the same question? Do you love Jesus more than anything else that you may be involved in? Your work, your social life, the things you enjoy doing, and it's great to enjoy them. But do you love the Lord more than any of them? And you see, this question was asked three times and corresponded to Peter's three denials in Christ. You see, Peter was probably confused and did not know what to do. So he did what he knew and went fishing, and six others came with him, which caused Jesus to ask Peter those questions. Do you love me more than these? We not only have the simple question asked, and the searching question that asked for first place, but we have the stern question that asked Peter to follow him in verses 21 to 22. The question was asked in verses 21 to 22. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, that is, what is that to you? You follow me." Sometimes we're so good at looking around when we should be forgetting all and going for Christ. I've got a son this morning. Who has been hurt because Christian, whom he thought were friends, were not there when he needed them. Friends, can I say this morning, if you know and love the Lord Jesus as your Savior, are you and will you be there for those who are in need? Oh, they may look all right. They may look they're getting on okay. But yet underneath, they are not. My son, as a result of that, and I would ask you to pray for William. He said to us last night, and he said to us a few times, he says, "I'm not going to church tomorrow. And don't make me." That is heartbreaking. We have said for years that it is so easy to say things that affect others and turn them away. We have to be very careful in how we speak to those around us. But the words that we speak would draw them to Christ. Words can be hurtful and can take a long time to get over. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me."
Peter had heard that call before,
and he responded.
He responded to it. But Peter was concerned about what John was to do for Christ. And the Lord said to him, he answered him,
"What is that to you? You don't worry about John, but worry about what you are doing for me," Jesus said, "is what is more important." And when you follow the Lord Jesus and follow his direction for your life, then others will see, and it will affect them in the right way. But when we do what we want for ourselves, it affects others in the wrong way. And then he gave that familiar call again, didn't he? There in verse 22. "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Following Christ is an individual matter. And friends, this morning, it is not dependent on what others do. It is dependent on you as an individual before God that will make a mark for eternity. Maybe this morning some of you are going through difficulties. Tell Jesus, because he will meet you where you are. He will meet us where we are. And Jesus insists on having first place in our lives. And Jesus calls us to follow him regardless of what others do. Can I ask you the question this morning? How will you answer our Lord's three questions of commitment? A simple question that asked for the facts. The searching question that asked for first place. And the stern question that asked Peter to follow him. Friends, this morning that same question is being asked to you. Will you follow him wherever it may lead? That might be to a neighbor. That might be to a colleague at work. That might be to the person over the counter in the shop, or somebody down the street or the road. Follow him where he leads. And he will help you. And he will guide you. And friends, you might wonder, what am I going to say? Ask the Lord to give you the words to speak. And he will. There are sometimes in class, and the questions I get asked, I go, "Lord, help me here because I don't know the answer." And sometimes I'll get them to ask the question twice to allow God to give me the answer and to help me with it. He is just a prayer away. And he is there. When Peter and the disciples came in that morning after fishing all night, Jesus was preparing breakfast. He said, "Go and bring more fish." It were the largest amount they'd ever caught. But the nets did not break. Jesus showed Peter, "I know what you did. But you didn't stay sitting. You wanted to do something. But now," he says, "I want you to follow me.
He will use those who are active and ready. Are you ready this morning to follow him completely? Our closing hymn says, "How deep." And it's because of how deep the Father's love is for each and every one of us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. We're living in a day and an age where people are wanting to know the truth. Friends, we've got the truth. Someone said to me quite recently, 10 to 15 years ago, children asked questions to make fun of you. 5 to 10 years ago, children asked questions to try and catch you out. Now, children are asking questions to know the truth. When I heard that statement, I looked back over the 20 odd years that we're going in and out to schools. And I can see it all. Our young people are confused. The people in our nation are confused. And friends, we've got the answers. And what does Jesus say? Follow me. But how can they follow him if they don't know who he is? Friends, this morning I want to challenge you that the way you live your life, how you speak, is what will be a witness to those you come in contact with. Friends, I say that to myself. Can people see Christ in us?